In nature, a wildfire is one of the most devastating natural forces. It burns hot and fast and leaves little behind but ash and char. Or so it seems. Very soon after the fire passes through the forest, life returns. Shrubs and weeds that clogged the forest floor have burned away, leaving space for new trees, grasses, and flowers to emerge and flourish. Habitats are created, bringing new insects, birds, reptiles, and mammals. A cancer diagnosis can feel like a wildfire, our bodies becoming this new, fire-clarified landscape. For some, cancer changes utterly everything. For others, cancer brings greater clarity and purpose. And some of us are still searching for what life after a cancer diagnosis will look like. Welcome to The Burn. We are exploring stories of life and transformation following a breast cancer diagnosis. I'm April Stearns, the founder and editor of Wildfire Magazine and the host of this podcast. Today, we're going to hear a piece about living alongside cancer, but not letting it take over everything. Whether you've been diagnosed with early stage cancer or metastatic disease, you know the challenge of the so-called new normal. That is life after diagnosis and finding footing in that new world. I'm so excited to talk to my guest today because she was our cover star from the recent Wildfire magazine on this topic, New Normal. On the cover, you see a split frame. On one side, a hospital, and on the other, a beautiful nature scene. And between the two, you see my guest. She's here today to talk about what it means to have one foot in both worlds all the time. My guest today is Sherry Henderson. Sherry was diagnosed at both 39 and 41, the first time with stage 3 hormone-positive breast cancer, and the second time with a stage 4 recurrence. She's a nature seeker who collects rocks, takes pictures, loves her family and friends, reads, writes, works, and lives all along this beautiful shore of Lake Superior, where I am talking to her today. She lives there with her supportive adventure partner, Brent. Sherry works intentionally to create balance in her life to honor her health and her healing. And I can't wait to get into it with her. Hey, Sherry, welcome to The Burn.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Love chatting with you. So the piece that you wrote and that you're reading for us today is called Scan, Treat, Repeat. This is from our brand new normal issue, brand new to us as we're recording this. Those of you listening, hopefully you've picked it up by now, but if you haven't, do grab it so you can see the beautiful cover. Sherry, after you read, you and I will chat. Those of you listening, stay tuned to the very end for a writing prompt inspired by today's episode. All right, Sherry, I'll let you take it away.
Thanks. Scan, treat, repeat. I first heard these words and felt myself bristling under the weight and perspective of forever treatments. The three words sounded so cavalier in their simplicity. I did not understand, and the lived experience was not mine. Until it was. Learning to live with cancer happens in the quiet moments, the times between the treatments, in the stillness of the breath, and silent cries when nobody is watching. A whisper on my daily walks, moving muscles without resistance. The sun on my face as I smell the remnants of summer in the warm air. The discomfort of the disease coming in hot, salty waves, sticky on my skin. The loneliness, the seething rage, the unsettledness adding extra layers to any day. Each moment strung together in the necklace of acceptance, one bead at a time. The scans come up every 3 months like clockwork. A cruel game of Russian roulette. Will this be the time the treatment stops working? Will the cancer start growing again? Or does the pendulum swing the other way this time, towards health and stability? The machine whirs around me. I try to stay calm, like a lake with no ripples. The doctor comes in, and fear sits beside me, waiting with me in lockstep, always holding my hand in her icy grip. Progression. New drugs, shattering the present into another round of before and after. Adjustments, pivoting, shifting. New treatments set the stage for the next 3 months. More beads get added to the necklace that I can't ever take off. The chain wears heavy around my neck. My quality of life suffers as I try to pattern the side effects of this new drug that was approved just 1 month before I needed it to survive. Coincidence? Even in the darkest corners of metastatic disease, there are advancements and medical breakthroughs. There is hope when I open my eyes, swimming in a sea of nausea as the drugs work their way through my system. Before I know it, another 3 months have passed. I wait. The machine whirs and reads the data in my cellular body. The doctor comes in, and fear grips my arm as I try to calm my breathing. The new treatment is working. Stability and shrinking tumors blanket the scan results. The heavy armor of progression lifts, for now, and my body feels light, alive, and free. I can focus on quality and actively work on training my mind, living big when feeling best, and taking care of myself always. Scan, treat, repeat. These words take on new meaning for me now. The mantra begins to clarify the simplicity and truth behind my newly fledged experiences. I can now see the boldness of each word and the life lived in between. So much life in the in-between. There is life in varying degrees before and after each scan and each treatment, repeating over and over in a cyclical nature. Time illuminates this equation. What I did not know then, I feel in my bones now. Life continues in stride, and I keep my head above water with the undulating movements of each day that passes. A stable scan 1 month is not a guarantee for the next. The in-between has shown me that anything can happen. Progression turns to stability and no evidence of active disease, and then back again just as quickly. The treatment works until it doesn't. There are no promises, no guarantees, and the cost of living is high. I wear the necklace I have been given and continue to find my voice and my story in the precious time in between. I am still learning to coexist with my cancer shadow. She moves when I move, and like it or not, we are inextricably linked. You will find me today living within these dualities, somewhere between progression and stability, shrinkage and growth, nausea and well-being. Scan, treat, repeat.
Oh, Sherry, thank you so much for that. That was beautifully shared. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll let you catch your breath while we hear a testimonial. Hi, friends. There is now a wildfire book in the world. It is a big, beautiful compilation of my favorite essays from Wildfire Magazine, spanning all the way back to our first ever issue in 2016 up to the summer of 2022. This book took years to create and is literally the resource I wish I had had when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. This book is called Igniting the Fire Within, and it's made up of 50 essays that really dig into the experience of having breast cancer in our 20s, 30s, and 40s. Every stage of breast cancer is represented, from DCIS to stage 4, from all sorts of walks of life, from all around the world. Our writers go deep and get vulnerable to heal their own experiences and to let others like you know that you're not alone. You will find yourself within these pages. Get Igniting the Fire Within, stories of healing, hope, and humor inside today's young breast cancer community on Amazon in paperback and for Kindle now. Curl up with it today.
Hello, my name is Sarah Capellier. I was diagnosed with breast cancer at 42 years of age in Montreal, Quebec, Canada in December 2019. I first became aware of Wildfire Magazine in the course of 2020 and was able to attend several workshops through 2020 and 2021, writing workshops with April. These workshops have helped me to explore my relationship with what I've been through, come to terms with the changes, the losses, the emotions surrounding the diagnosis, and the treatment and the aftermath of this disease. I have really appreciated the possibility to explore those aspects of breast cancer through writing. And reading also the stories of other women, as well as the opportunity to connect with women from all walks of life through April's workshops. So thank you very much to April, and long life to Wildfire.
Thanks so much for the love, Sarah.
I love your message. Thank you. And now turning back to you, Sherry, thank you again for sharing this beautiful story with us, this, you know, snapshot into the life that you are living right now. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to have written it for the new normal because, like the words say, it's, you know, just trying to learn and figure out how to put one foot in front of the other each day. So it's a constant learning too. So it was really healing to write that.
I'm so glad. Yeah, I wanted to ask you if you have any more thoughts on this, you know, kind of balancing two worlds. And, you know, I don't know, does the way that you balance it now look any different from, say, when you were first diagnosed, or how is it looking to you these days?
Yeah, that's a great question. It completely different from my original diagnosis. You know, like everybody, we're thrown into the treatment so quickly. And it's just you're in survival mode. But then what I've learned over the years too is that, you know, in the past I would always say, oh, when I'm done with chemotherapy, then I can take this grand adventure, or then I can feel better and write more, or then I can do this, or when the radiation's over, that's when this, you know, my life can start. And I've learned since that, you know, living with metastatic disease is, you don't wait for that time to, you know, like Nightbird said, you don't wait for, life to be less hard or something, before you decide to be happy. And it's kind of the same thing with the scans. It's like, I can't wait until I have no evidence of active disease to then start my life. I have had no active evidence or no evidence of active disease in the last year, a couple of scans in a row, and then I have progression. So it's how do you work on that mindset, live with cancer, and to let the shadow sit next to you and still go on those adventures and get your treatments and keep living life.
Exactly. Well, I really like what you're talking about too, because I think it has far-reaching application to anyone listening to this, because the reality is that life is unpredictable. And whether it's, you know, another diagnosis, or it's a layoff at work, or a family member who's dealing with something difficult, or I don't know, you know, something from nature, a flood or whatever, like there is always something coming along, and we do have to learn how to not ignore it, but how to juggle it and just to live our lives, because otherwise you spend your whole life waiting the perfect time. I remember this, it's not exactly the same, or it's not nearly the same, but I remember asking my dad many, many, many years ago if I should wait to get married until I didn't have any student debt. And I remember this huge pause in him being like, well, do you want to get married? Like, maybe they're not related at all, you know, just like do the things you want to do. And it sounds like you're finding ways to do that now too. And I realize it's different when it means you might not feel very good. Like you might have to push things off because of things like that, but it sounds like it's a different mindset for you now.
Mm-hmm. And it's really trying to find, you know, living within those 3 months or in those 3 month increments, you know, working on then looking past those 3 months to hope for the future too. So it's kind of, you know, it's definitely like a duality or both things happening at the same time. You know, living with the fear, living, but then also living with the joy. And I think that was Lara McGregor who said you can hold both fear and joy in the same hand. I mean, that's something that I learned from her years ago, and it's just stuck with me. I don't know. There's just constant inspiration that I find in the cancer community, you know, how to learn to live with cancer.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and I'm so glad that you have community around you. Did you also have, you know, a sense of community with your first diagnosis, or is that another shift this time?
I did not have the community on the onset of the first diagnosis. I had to find it. And I found it on social media. I found it through Wildfire. I found it through Better Than Before Breast Cancer podcast with Laura Lover, you know, showing that there are different ways, you know, there are ways to live with this. And it's not all bad and doom and gloom. And, you know, with the darkness, there's always, you know, there's the hope too. And that's what I found in the breast cancer community, for sure. You know, especially in the young community, everybody is very, you know, transparent and vulnerable and willing to share their experiences like out loud online. And that really helped me because I had never seen, you know, whether it was like a flat chest before or, you know, mastectomy scars, things like that. So with my early diagnosis, that's kind of what I was searching for. Was a community, and that's what I found. And then I was able then to just go deeper than with my second diagnosis.
So I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot, and you can tell me, you know, if you don't want to answer this, but my hope with Wildfire has always been many layered. And one aspect of it is that if you're already in the community and you're already hearing the stories that range from, you know, early diagnosis to stage four diagnosis and all the shades in between and experiences in between, my hope, perhaps if a second diagnosis comes along of a metastatic reoccurrence, that you might already feel like, okay, I know someone, I've seen someone else walking this path, and I, it maybe take a little bit of fear out a little bit. I'm just curious if you experienced that.
I did. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, online, you're able to find, there's so many people, unfortunately, that are touched by the disease. So you do see somebody that's maybe 5 months ahead of you or a year ahead of you or something like that. Right. You know, I tend to grab on the hope then that that person is living their life and with the treatments and they're managing it. So how are they doing it? And, you know, if, you know, trying to surround myself with more positive stories too, of like people thriving with cancer and, and showing me that then, okay, that's what I can do too, because nobody really teaches you when you're young how to live with cancer. It's always, you know, it's such a death sentence is what always comes to mind, or, you know, but it's so, everything has changed so much since then that, you know, that I don't feel that way at all anymore. And so it's just really surrounding with, whether it's, radiation or something. If I have a new radiation treatment, I'd look to see if other people have shared stories about their experience too. And that's been really helpful. And you know, just taking the nuggets that other people have too, and taking, you know, or either writing them down or, you know, screenshotting things or just, you know, messaging people and building that connection just really, really helps. And I have to say that the I've been like a long participant now, I think, in the Wildfire workshops, and those I've found such deep community in not just, you know, writing the stories and having the words come out is healing, but then every single group I'm in, the women are just amazing, and there's just a bond that's already there from the beginning. So like that has really taken it to the next level for me in my survivorship. And I just, just so, so grateful for that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really glad to hear that, because that is definitely the goal. You know, you're talking about the kind of the common perspective or perception of cancer. It kind of has this duality of, you know, early stage, it's like you just do a little treatment and then you're like right back to the way you were. Or a metastatic diagnosis and you're off the deep end, you know, and what we have found, all of us being in this cancer space, is there is so much in between those two things, you know, that the world doesn't really understand what it is to live with the aftermath, whether mental or physical. And so I think just, you know, me, I'm biased, but I think that it's the stories that really change that perspective. And like you said, give you hope when you read someone else's story and she's, you know, a couple months ahead of you or a year ahead of you, to be like, okay, now I have a little light in this tunnel that I can follow.
Right. And then there's strength, you know, I can deal with it. I can deal with it too. You know, it makes me feel less alone.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that that's one of the things that I learned the most from my cancer experience was that there are others out there. Sometimes it's very hard to find. When I was first diagnosed in 2012, I didn't find my first in-person younger person for years, but she was out there. Now I know there are others and we have the power of the internet. But I think now, because of that, whenever I have something happening in my life, whether it's a new diagnosis or, you know, just something happening, I'm immediately thinking there are other people who've experienced this. Like, I am not the first person. And that is, it gives solace, but it also gives me to search for to see how they are doing that. Have you found that ripple effect in other aspects of your life as well?
Yeah, definitely. You know, whether it's somebody, unfortunately, that I know that's recently diagnosed or something. I mean, the one thing that I am really grateful for too is that I can share these resources to the newly diagnosed, to friends, to, you know, people that connect me to somebody else or something like that. It's like now there's this big like depth of resources that I can, you know, throw at this new person and they can deal with it, you know, as they can or want to. But at least there's things there, you know, to help, which is huge.
Well, and it's so helpful to be able to talk to other people going through it. It's really nice and important to talk to our oncologists for their perspective. But that is so different from the person who's actually living, you know, with the aftermath. I remember going to my oncologist and asking him about a tooth that I had cracked. And I had a suspicion that it was because of being through chemo or having cancer diagnosis. And he just said, no, we haven't seen evidence of that. Then I turned to Facebook and Instagram and there's like, you know, everyone's raising their hand saying, yeah, I've got teeth issues after. So it's like, yeah, maybe we haven't done the studies on it, but it made me feel less alone to know that other people are experiencing that. So, yeah.
Right. It's just, I mean, like I said before too, it's really the learning too, because I don't know how to do this. That's it too. It's not like I have a map that somebody gave me that's okay, this is how you live with this, or this is how you deal with this treatment, or this is how you deal with this in your life or something. I mean, like everything, we just kind of figure it out as we go. And so like the more we can stack those resources, I just feel it's so, so helpful.
It's true. And then I think there too is a layer of her story or their story isn't my story, you know, and that so we come together in the story. And then also how to recognize that there are so many variations on a cancer experience, on a life lived. And so even, you know, a story that's difficult to recognize, like, okay, there's differences between us too. Yeah.
And that's comforting.
It is, right? It is. I know. But I want to come back to the writing. I just have one more question for you. I could talk to you all day. Sherry, I always love talking to you, but our time is short. But you did mention, you know, how therapeutic it was for you to write this story. And, you know, I really love your mantra, you know, that you explained in this story, this idea of the rhythm of your life. And so I'm curious if you recognized it in the writing and that's how you came to it, or if you, let me say, like, sometimes we know what we want to write and then we kind of work it backwards. Like, how did I get here? Other times we just set out and we write and we don't know what's going to happen and where it's going to take us. What was the process for this particular essay for you?
Oh, that's a great question. I was thinking of the scan, treat, repeat, just that mantra, just because, you know, I've heard it in the metastatic community, and just, I think I heard my infusion nurse just talking about it too. And it just really, you know, it struck and stuck with me. And so it really just started from there and then went on the page, because I knew I had things I wanted to say. And then it just kind of, it went through the 3-month increments and kind of how I felt about you know, living life there. And then in the in-between, between the treatments, between the scans, like what does that life look like? And ultimately, you know, it's my choice. I can, there's a decision that has to be made, right? Like, do I, you know, do I choose to live completely fully with one foot in the treatment world and then one foot in the adventure and living my life world and knowing that that's, I can do both. And so I was just kind of exploring that. So I didn't need to work backwards on that one. It just kind of flowed kind of around the experience of the scans. And the really interesting thing too is I wrote it when I was enjoying stable scans. And so now reading it, I have since had progression. And, you know, I'm thinking, does this still hold up? Are those words still valid, even though now I have progression and I'm in treatment for that now? And the answer is yes. I mean, regardless of the scan results, I'm living life right now, you know, that doesn't change. So that's just been a really interesting thing, you know, reading it now in a different light than when I wrote it.
Yes. Oh, that's great to hear that it still like stands up to it. I think it's important to have, I don't know if it's a mantra per se or just like what I'm hearing when you say it is the solace of the cycle itself. Like on the one hand, it might be frustrating and annoying. Here we go again. On the other hand, it gives you some footing, like something to have assurance around, even when the ground is unstable and like you just experienced it, it still can give you a little bit of something to hold on to. And I know how much you love nature, and it makes me just think of those signs and cues that we get from the cycles that the earth goes through, you know, and that winter, it isn't really dead, right? There's still a lot going on under the surface. And spring isn't the only time when growth is happening. Like there's so many metaphors we can pull from that. Are you spending a lot of time in nature right now? Or what does your non-cancer self kind of look like right now?
Yes, I love nature and really look to nature as a teacher. And the season, like you said, the cyclical nature of the seasons and things just really shows, like you said, winter, there's nothing that's dead. You know, things are still living in the winter. And I live right on Lake Superior. And so I definitely take a lot of walks, get some lake therapy, and looking forward to the upcoming, you know, camping and fishing season for 2024. So that's exciting. But definitely any like turning my head towards the sun, even small moments when I don't feel well or just being outside and taking a little walk or something is just so healing. I definitely see that as part of the healing process for me, whether it's between treatments or healing. You know, right now I'm healing from radiation. So taking those slow walks and seeing things spring back to life is just really rejuvenating because I'm doing the same thing. So it's kind of like working in tandem with the seasons. And that's really helpful too. And I can see that looking back. Sometimes I don't notice it in the moment, but I definitely see that at play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the perfect spot for us to end. Sherry, thank you so much. We are going to link to all the amazing resources that you just dropped here and there, like little breadcrumbs throughout our episode. But I also want to link to you if you're open to having people follow you on social.
Oh, sure. That's great.
Would you share your handle?
Yeah. So I'm on Facebook, Sherry Henderson, and then on Instagram, I'm chender1. So it's chender1 on Instagram.
Perfect. We'll definitely link to you. Thank you again, Sherry. Really appreciate the time to chat with you. And those of you who've been listening, I hope you again will pick up our issue because Sherry is on the cover with this beautiful picture that was inspired, I think, by your partner, was it, that where that picture originally came from?
Yeah, we went on an epic trip to Montana last summer and he took that photo of me in front of that amazing colored lake.
Awesome. All right. Well, you guys should check it out. So my guest today has been Sherry Henderson. Her essay was Scan, Treat, Repeat. And that is from the 2023 New Normal issue. So I'm April Stearns, and you've been listening to The Burn. The Burn is a production of Wildfire Magazine, where we share breast cancer stories from young people like you've never read or heard before. We also strive to inspire you to write your story like you've never written it before. Stay to the end for a writing prompt inspired by today's episode. Our producer is Bill Smith of Shoe Production, and our production assistant is Monica Harrow. If you want more on the life-changing transformation to be had from telling your breast cancer stories, please visit us at wildfirecommunity.org. You'll find a copy of the issue shared in today's episode. You'll find our archives, and you can take a writing workshop with me. There's no place on the planet like a wildfire writing workshop, and I want you to experience it for yourself. Discover how to write your way back to yourself, write your way to reclaiming your body and your story. And don't forget to subscribe to The Burn and listen to it wherever you go. All right, the writing prompt I have for you is pulled right from Sherry's essay. So in Sherry's essay, she had a mantra that was repeated. Scan, treat, repeat. Scan, treat, repeat. So I wanna know, what is your mantra and what does that mean for you? Set your timer for 8 minutes, write without stopping or editing. See what needs to come out and where it will take you. And if you find that you write best with a great prompt, I've got tons more for you at wildfirecommunity.org/free. Head on over and download yours now. Happy writing. Thanks for listening. Until next time, take good care.